So today we celebrate the feast of Candlemas, or the presentation of Christ in the temple, as is its proper name. And you may be thinking, what do candles have to do with the story that we just heard in the gospel? Where are the candles in that story? They're not, are they? No candles in any of those stories that we just heard from the Bible. And that's quite right. The candles that we will bless today are part of an ancient tradition in the church. This was the occasion that was taken to bless the candles that were going to be used for the year ahead. So they would gather together all of the candles that they had, and they would bless them because they are to play a role in our worship, in our understanding of God's presence. Now, we don't have all of our candles there. We do have more. This is a representative sampling, and we will bless them. We'll also bless the candles that you have, because that really is what we are looking at today. The symbolism that we have today is twofold. Firstly, it is about light, and it is about recognizing light in darkness. And secondly, it is about redemption, about the word redemption and what that means for Jesus and what it means for us who seek to follow him. Let's start with light. In this season, in the middle of winter, as we still are, it's the 1st of February, but honestly, it's still the middle of winter. It's dark, it's cold, and all through this season of Christmas, and a little in Advent ahead of it, we have been thinking about light in darkness, about Jesus who comes to be the light of the world. Arise, shine, for your light has come. A great glory has shone upon you. We hear again and again in the prophets, and we hear it in the words of the New Testament, that Jesus is a light. He is a light to shine in the darkness. At the beginning of John's gospel, we hear that Jesus came to shine as a light in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And that is a message that is being reinforced day by day through this season, and needs to be. The symbolism of light in darkness, the symbol of a candle that flickers here on our altar or wherever we are lighting it, is that symbol. And in these days, I think the world is so topsy-turvy. It feels so strange and difficult and dark. In fact, to me, it feels more foggy than anything. Do you know what I mean? It feels just confusing. I watch the news and I think, why are they doing that? What is happening that somebody would make that choice? What is happening behind the scenes? What is wrong with somebody's heart that they would choose to behave like that or say those words? It just feels confusing to me. It feels strange. It feels like we're lost in this strange fog bank. And when we're in the middle of darkness like that, we need this symbolism. And we need to remember that this is what Jesus is for us. Even in the middle of confusion and noise and mess and, yes, fog and darkness, Jesus shines as a light in it. Sometimes we can talk about Jesus being a lighthouse for us. It is a beam that cuts through. When we light candles in the church and when we light candles to remember people, all the ways in which we may use this light, this flame, and especially our Paschal candle here reminding us of the presence of Jesus among us, we remember that Jesus is just that, a light that will illuminate everything else around it. When Jesus came into his temple that first time, he came into a situation where, first of all, he had no power at all. Here he is, a tiny baby being carried in, 8 days old, being carried in by his parents. Where is the great striding warrior of Malachi who strides into his temple, and who can abide the day of his coming? This terrifying image of judgment and power. We see none of that in Jesus at all, because that isn't where he is or how he comes into that temple. He comes into a temple that is full of people. It's full of mess and busyness because you have to buy back your firstborn. You need to buy back your firstborn boy. You need to buy back your firstborn bull. You need to buy back your firstborn goat. You need to buy back your firstborn whatever, because that is the law of the Lord. Ever since the Passover, where God, through the power of his merciful judgment, spared the firstborn of the Hebrews there in Egypt, the firstborn of the Egyptians, people and animals both, were struck down by the angel of death. The people of God were saved from that. The sheep sacrificed its blood above the lintel, saved those people. And ever since then, it is in the law of Moses that you need to buy your firstborn back as a result. They were saved by God, and now you need to buy them back from him. They belong to God. They are holy to God. So everybody would be there. Everybody who's got something to buy back. It would have been crowded. People with animals, with things, sacrifices happening. Mess and busyness all over. And in the middle of this, Simeon rushes into this temple and he sees immediately. The Spirit of God is with him. And he is just drawn immediately because he knows that this child, this infant, is the one that he's been waiting for. The Lord had promised to him, you won't die until you see the Lord's Messiah. And he knows that this is him. Jesus' light and presence cuts through all of that. And he is drawn to that light immediately. We hear those wonderful words of the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation that you promised to your people. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Here is the light cutting through any darkness. That is a light that is for us too. And when we bless these candles, we remember that. This is the presence of Jesus with us. A light that can lighten our darkness. That can show us what truth and what mercy and what goodness truly look like, because that is who he is. The second symbol, of course, is redemption. That word redemption, when we are followers of Jesus, if we've been Christians for a while, the word redemption is thrown around quite a lot. But sometimes we lose track of what it actually means. Redemption means to buy back. It means to pay off, essentially. When Jesus is brought into the temple, he is being redeemed. He is being paid for. His parents bring in those two young pigeons and they give them to the temple, and that is the payment. They've just bought Jesus back. Redemption. That is what Jesus does for us. The symbolism here that Jesus is first redeemed and then we are redeemed through his sacrifice. He needed to be redeemed because of that first gracious act of God in the Passover. The sacrifice of the lamb, the blood on the lintel. The second redemption, where Jesus buys us back, he is the lamb. The blood belongs to him. We are redeemed through his grace and through his power. He is redeemed, and so are we. At every step through this season of Epiphany, we've been reminded that God is with us, Emmanuel, and that Jesus has experienced everything that we do. He shares in those experiences. He shares in being born into this world, in the temptations of this world, in the sufferings and trials of this world. He shares in baptism with us. He shares in redemption with us. All of these things show us that our light, our shining beacon to lead us forwards, is here and has been here and shows us the way forwards. As we come to God, as we recognize his power coming into his temple, quietly, humbly as it was, we recognize the truth and the power of it. May that light shine in our lives. May it cut through the confusion, the fog of these days, and may it be a bright beacon to encourage us and strengthen us, because we know what goodness looks like. The world may be trying to pretend otherwise, but we are not misled. We know what goodness looks like. We know what justice looks like. We know what love looks like because we see it in Jesus Christ and we follow him. May you recognize the Lord as he comes into your life today. Amen.